And we're going to teach His Word just as He's delivered it to us. And if you find that we're not doing that, you'd be our friend if you'd point it out to us. We want to display the love of God and the glory of God by keeping His commandments. And we hope that you're of that same mind. This morning I want to call your attention to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. He says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to your perseverance godliness, to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness love." So Peter is writing to Christians and he is reminding them that and rejoicing that they are faithful. Faith, of course, Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Any faith we have comes because we've heard it from someone or we've read it someplace. And so that's what we believe and that's what we trust and that's what we do. But the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God is the one true faith. That's why this Bible is so very important. And so what Peter is really saying to us is that we are to add to our faith. Yes, I have heard that Jesus is the Christ. I have heard that I am a sinner and come short of the glory of God. I have heard that the wages of sin is death, separation from God. We know that physical death is when our spirit is separated from our fleshly body. Well, spiritual death is when our spirit is separated from God. And what causes that separation is our sin. And somebody has to pay the price for that sin. We can pay it ourselves and be separated from God while we live here and separated from God hereafter in an eternity that God has revealed to us as a place of absolute torment forever and ever and ever. God doesn't want that for us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And because of that, God paid the price for our sin in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf, and the shedding of His blood on our behalf. We can allow Christ to pay the price for our sin, but it requires that we return to Him in love, in faith, that we trust Him, that we obey Him. So he says, you all believe that, and it's evident that you believe that, and you're practicing that. But now, he says, add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. Sometimes people say, well, virtue is moral excellence, and in some context it is, but in this context, it's really a goal. It's excellence. He's not saying you have faith and you have a little bit of faith and that's good enough. God has never been a God of good enough. God has always been the God of excellence. And God is calling us to excellence in our faith. So add to your faith the goal of being excellent in your faith. Well, how do you do that? It takes diligence. It takes a full-time commitment. To be diligent to the Word of God. To be diligent to yourself. And measuring yourself by the Word of God. As we had in our scripture reading this morning from Andre in Psalm 119. Take heed to yourself. I took consideration of myself in comparison to your Word, O God. And I saw where I needed to make correction. In all diligence, add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge. If I want to know how to be excellent, I need to know what's the standard of excellence. And that's God's Word. To your knowledge, self-control. Okay, so I know what God wants me to do. Now I need to practice self-control to do it. And I know what God doesn't want me to do. And I need to practice self-control and not do those things. To your self-control, perseverance. I need to keep doing that. I need to keep doing what God wants me to do and keep doing what God, keep abstaining from what God doesn't want me to do. And to your perseverance, godliness. Your character is going to change. If you walk in the Word of God, and you're desiring to serve God in your life, your character is going to change. From a character of worldliness to a character of godliness. That God's character is going to become your character. And you're going to be aware of that. And you're going to want to be preserving that and emphasizing that in your life and rejoicing in that. To your brotherly, and to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And to your brotherly kindness, love. God is love. And the whole emphasis of all of this and of God's Word is that we be like Him. The word love comes from a Greek word agape. It means a sincere interest in the welfare of others. One word definition, others. Love is more interested in others than it is in self. It will put others before self. Isn't that what God did for us? When He sent His only begotten Son to die on our behalf, He put us before His Son. And yet, He's exalted His Son because of what His Son has done on our behalf. But I want to focus this morning on this characteristic of brotherly kindness. It's a special kind of love. And I've always found it interesting that He says that add to your godliness brotherly kindness, and then to your brotherly kindness love. You know, because I think we learn to love our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who have things in common with us before we love those who don't. You know, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And He also said, love your enemies. Sometimes it's hard enough to love our neighbor, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard enough to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, let alone our enemies. And yet, God is love. If God didn't love His enemies, He wouldn't have sent His Son to die on their behalf, would He? That is the hard lesson for us to learn. That is the hard characteristic of godliness that's hard for us to live up to. But before we can live up to that, we need to live up to brotherly kindness. Sometimes we have trouble with that. I'm not saying that we do, but in order to prevent it and to be on guard against not having brotherly kindness to one another, then I want us to consider these few things. How we treat others. This brotherly love is a Christian's most obvious trait. In John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now, the commandment to love one another was not a new commandment. The commandment to love one another is contained in the Mosaic Law. They were told to love one another, to love their neighbors, to love each other. But the standard of love is now amplified. Love one another as I have loved you. And I don't know if they fully appreciated how much they loved Him because He hadn't died yet. But He loved others sacrificially. And God is calling upon us to love one another sacrificially. By this, notice, all will know that you are My disciples if you have love one for another. You know, somebody came in here this morning and they weren't a member of this church. They weren't familiar with what Christianity was all about. And they came in and they saw us just fussing and fighting and divided into little groups. And one group doesn't talk to another group and all of those kinds of things. There was certainly an atmosphere of division. Would they think that we were of Christ? I would hope not. I would hope not, because that's not what Christ is all about. Christ is about us coming together in Him, as we noticed this morning from our study of Ephesians. For others to know that we are of Christ, we need to have love one for another. That is motivated by God's kindness towards us. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. The love of Christ constrains us to return our love to Him and to obey Him. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, this is part of His commandments, is that we practice brotherly kindness or brotherly love towards one another. The word kindness here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 comes from a Greek word. It's a compound Greek word. Phileo means a fond affection to love. It's the affectionate love. It's not the agape love. It's the affectionate love. And so when he says have brotherly kindness to one another, he's saying be affectionate to one another. A fond affection for one another. And adelphos means brother. So a fond affection for your brother or sister in Christ. Brotherly kindness is a great sign of spiritual growth in a congregation. Peter, of course, brings this out. Paul brings it out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 9 through 10. He says, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do show toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. What's that sound like? That sounds like excellence, doesn't it? You don't have any need that I teach you about brotherly love because you've been taught about that. You've got the Word of God. You know that. Not only do you know it, you're practicing it. But you know what? You can increase in it. Can you increase in your affection towards your brothers and sisters in Christ? If we're all honest with ourselves, we'd say, yeah. I do love my brother and sister in Christ, but I think I can be even kinder. I think I can love them and be affectionate towards them even more. And that's what he's saying. You can increase in that. Don't be satisfied with the current status, but increase more and more. Brotherly kindness involves removing self. It does go to the element of agape. It does go to the element of others before self. Becoming a Christian begins with self-denial. In Matthew chapter 16 and verses 21 through 26, Jesus made this point extremely plain. He says, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. What's going on here? Jesus is telling them, trying to prepare them for what's going to happen in Jerusalem when they go there to observe Passover. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to raise 3 days later. You know, Peter and probably the rest of the apostles didn't hear the resurrection part. They just heard that he's going to be arrested and killed. And said, we're not going to let that happen to you. Now, there's a certain element in the human aspect of Christ that appealed to. Why did he say, get thee behind me, Satan? There was a temptation there. There is a temptation. Don't go. There is a temptation. Stay away. There is a temptation. Get out of here. But this had to be done. For their sake, for our sake, for all mankind's sake, our only hope of salvation is in the sacrifice that Jesus is about to make. So Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you want to save your life, you first have to lose your life. You have to get rid of Doug or Andre or Debbie or sin to you, grant. You have to get rid of that identity. Get rid of whatever it is that identifies you as that. And, you know, these are his hobbies. This is what he likes. This is what kind of car he drives. This is what kind of house he lives in. This is what kind of clothes he wears. Get rid of that. That's not important to you anymore. They were important to us. For some people, that those kinds of things still are important to them. But don't let that be what identifies you. Let your walk with Christ be what identifies you. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I've said before, I'll say it again, and we'll say it again sometime, you know, that I don't think anybody desires to gain the whole world. Dion, you want to gain the wealth of the whole world? No. None of us want to gain the wealth of the whole world. We don't even entertain that thought, do we? But look at the flip side of it. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is worth more than the wealth of all the world. And you're giving your soul away. You're giving your soul away for remaining to live for self instead of living for God. Instead of losing your identity to be identified with Christ and let His character be seen in you, you're forfeiting your salvation. You're forfeiting fellowship with Almighty God in and through Christ. And so your walk with Christ begins with self-denial. And our brotherly kindness towards one another begins with self-denial and lifting up our brother and sister in Christ. It's not who is greatest, but who is willing to serve. As we see in Matthew chapter 18 in the first 14 verses. And we don't have time to read that this morning. There's other verses that we could go to as well. You know, often it seems like the apostles had this discussion among themselves, which among us is going to be greatest in the kingdom? You know, well, it's not. If you want to be great in the kingdom, Jesus boiled it all down, you need to serve. Not looking forward to being served and recognized as you're the greatest, and everybody kind of bow down to you and come to you. No, you need to be a servant. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. We need to learn that lesson. Brotherly kindness involves the essentials for unity and love, and that's removing self. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. You need to get rid of yourself. It's not about you. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That had to be the mind of Christ for him to come and to do what he did for us. And it needs to be our mind if we are going to serve Him acceptably and serve one another acceptably. Jesus removed Himself. In Matthew chapter 20 and verses 27 and 28, He says, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom. He paid the price for many. We were in the captivity of our sin, Jesus paid the ransom price in His blood and His death so that we could be set free and to walk with Him. But if we're going to do that, we have to deny ourselves and serve Him and serve one another in brotherly kindness. Living in this one another relationship, we are members one of another. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. We bear with one another. Galatians 6 in the first three verses. We forgive one another. Matthew 18 verses 21 through 35. We prefer one another. We, in other words, we lift up one another. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 verse 10 and following. We edify or build up one another. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. We confess our sins to one another. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So this is a one another relationship. It's not just a relationship with God. And that's wonderful enough, isn't it? But it's a relationship with one another. And that's brought out over and over and over throughout the Scriptures. There are some do's and don'ts of brotherly kindness. Don't speak ill of anyone for pleasure. As a hobby. You know, there's a word for that. It's called gossip. Now, gossip doesn't try to help anyone or build anyone up. It just talks about what's wrong with other people in order to make you look like your problems aren't so great. Brotherly kindness doesn't do that. It doesn't emphasize the shortcomings of others. Don't be critical of a brother that you have not first criticized in person. You know, there might be a brother or sister in Christ that is worthy of criticism, but go to them first. Jesus set forth that principle, didn't He? You have aught against your brother? Go to them first. That's always the first avenue of approach. Don't harbor jealousy or grudges. You know, why are people jealous of one another? Well, they think they should be above the other. They don't want the other person to receive the notoriety. They want to receive the notoriety. And so when somebody else receives notoriety, then they're jealous of that. We've got a problem if we're jealous, aren't we? We need to overcome that. Sometimes people say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, we need to stop being the way we are. That's what being a Christian is all about. Stop being the way you are and be the way Christ is. Grudges. People say, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it. And then I've heard Christians say, well, I'd never say that, and I'm not like that. When I forgive, I should forget. And then I've heard Christians bring up incidences that have happened years ago that I've forgotten long ago, forgot all about it. And they bring it up. They're harboring a grudge. That's not consistent with brotherly kindness. Don't be quick to judge another's motives. You might see somebody doing something and you say, well, why would they do that? Ask them. Don't assume that you know. Now, if you do assume, you might be right, but you could very well be wrong. So don't be quick to judge someone's motives, because when we're quick to judge someone's motives, then we prejudge them. We don't have all of the evidence. We're not judging a righteous judgment. Be disgusted with weakness, but help. You know, I guess this is under the context of don't be disgusted with weakness, but you can't help but be disgusted with weakness, can you? There's a certain aspect that we should be disgusted with weakness. But brotherly kindness recognizes the weakness and then tries to help strengthen that weak area in love and concern and with the Word of God. Let the words brother or sister be empty titles. Don't let those be empty titles, but let them be a relationship. When I talk about Brother Grant, or Brother Junior, Brother Neil, Sister Cindy, or whoever it might be, it needs to be not just an empty title of recognition, but an expression of the phileo, the emotion that we have for one another. Cherish that relationship. What should we do in expressions of brotherly kindness? Actually do something for those who need help. Don't ask, well, if I can do something. Well, if you were in that situation, what would you like for somebody to do? What needs to be done? You know, an emergency comes up in a family. Well, there's other things. You know, life goes on and things need to be addressed and meals need to be prepared and chores need to be done and whatever it might. You know, you can figure out what needs to be done and try to do it. Try to help. Somebody needs a word of encouragement. If there's anything I can do and they need encouragement, then offer those words of encouragement and offer the help and be there. Don't be on the phone. Be there. Be beside them. Compliment the accomplishments of the young and of the old. You see, your young brothers and sisters in Christ growing, compliment them for that. Express your appreciation to them for that. Every once in a while, I'll receive a note of encouragement from members of the congregation. Says, we really appreciate the lesson or what you're doing or this or that. Or, you know, that means a lot. That's part of the doing of brotherly kindness. Show an interest in others' hobbies or work or their interest. You know, maybe you're into sports and other people aren't into sports. Well, they're into something. Maybe they're into knitting. Why should I be interested in knitting? Because they're interested in knitting. You express an interest in them, not so much in knitting, but you express an interest in them, the artistry of it, the craftsmanship of it. You can have an appreciation for that, can't you? You see, by expressing an interest in others' interest, you're actually expressing an interest in that person. Be a problem solver, not just a problem identifier. Well, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. Yeah, it does. I didn't notice that. Maybe the reason you noticed it is because you can do something about that. And if you can't, then help the person that you're asking to do something about it do it. Don't tell somebody to go and do it. Go do it with them. Maybe you'll learn how to do it. Apologize if you're wrong. Remember the golden rule. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. If you were to test your sonship, are you a child of God? Brotherly kindness is an evidence of our love towards God. John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and through 21, something very similar to what Jesus said. He says, by this men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now look. If someone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. It's not should love your brother, ought to love your brother. If I don't love my brother, am I keeping the commandments of God? He who loves God must love his brother. Well, I just don't like that person. You need to get over that. They're not your enemy, but if you're to love your enemies, certainly you can learn to love this brother that you don't like, right? It's about getting over our human nature and participating in the divine nature. What we do or don't do for our brethren is done to Christ. That's what Jesus said about the day of judgment, isn't it? When he stands before men and before him all nations are gathered and he divides them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Won't be hard to distinguish which one's which. Anybody here not know the difference between a sheep and a goat? If you were to look at them, yeah, we could. Anybody can do that, right? It's not going to be hard for him to do that. He says, you visited the sick. You took care of the poor. You helped those who were in need. And when you did that, you did it unto me. And when you refused to do that, you refused to do it to me. Warmer and closer relationships among brethren can solve many of the problems that exist today. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. When you became a Christian, wasn't your desire to have sincere love for the brethren, genuine love for the brethren? Well, what's the expression of that genuine love and that desire? Fervent, pure love. Affection for one another. You do anything to help. And you do anything to help. Not only would you, but you do anything to help. Finally, Hebrews 13 and verse 1 says, let brotherly love, let brotherly kindness continue. So it's not that, well, I love my brother. There's some things I don't love and that's just the way it's going to be. No. Love your brother. Bear with one another. Let brotherly kindness continue. You know, I almost jumped out of this lesson today to preach another lesson kind of from it. But it troubles me, the division that's in our country and the division that has been in generations upon generations. It all goes back to God lamenting, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People don't know God. And because they don't know God, they don't know one another. They don't have an appreciation for one another. There's nothing for them to unify under if we don't have God. You know, not only would brotherly kindness continue, but kindness would continue if people knew Jesus Christ. He indeed is the answer to so many, if not all, of our social problems. Can we look around us and see what it's like to live without, what it means to live without Christ? We lament our nation's condition and the world's condition and the division that exists, but it could all be solved if everyone would just come to Christ. In order for them to do that, I thank Charles last week for his lesson. I haven't heard the lesson, but I know what it was about. It was about bringing people to Christ. In order for people to come to Christ, we've got to bring them. We have to teach them. We have to show them the love of God in Christ Jesus and our love for one another. That's going to take a united effort. Perhaps you're here today and and you're not a child of God. You can't practice brotherly love because you're not in the brotherhood. Now, that doesn't mean you don't love people and you're not affectionate towards people. But I want you to think about what we talked about at the beginning of this lesson today. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We separated ourselves from God. But God loved us so much that He made it possible for us to be reconciled to Him, to be redeemed, to be bought back in Christ. Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. You will be you're separated from me now, you'll be separated from me in eternity. In Luke chapter 13 and verses 3 and 5, He said, except you repent, except you turn around, except you stop living for yourself and start living for me, you will die in your sins. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Abide in my word, and you will be my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.